Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 25, verse number 4. If you're a visitor this morning, we're so glad to have you. Please fill out a visitor card. Give it to one of the ushers. We'd love to contact you, get to meet you. Amen. Proverbs, chapter number 25, and verse number 4. Take away the dross from the silver. There shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything that you've done, what you're doing right now, and what you're going to do. We're excited, Lord, of just being a part of this last day harvest. And we understand and believe we are living in the last days. And we're asking you for a Holy Ghost outpouring with signs, wonders, and miracles take place in this last day. We're asking you for the power of old time Pentecost to come down at Harvest Time Church. We just want to be used as a vessel. Lord, meet for the Master's use in this last day. We ask you, oh God, that you would speak to us, Lord, this morning by your word and by your spirit. Drive the message home very deeply in our spirits. And Lord, we ask you to conform us to the image of Christ. We ask you these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Going to preach to you this morning on the thought, addition by subtraction. The principles of mathematics are pretty much universal all over the world. You know, there's different languages, different tongues, tribes, and nations, but mathematics is pretty much the same. 3 + 3 = 6 in every language around the world. Can I get a witness in this house? I'm telling you, maybe some things are a little bit different, but the basic mathematics around the world are the same. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the math of heaven is completely different. It's not 3 + 3 = 6. No, sometimes 3 + 3 = 4. You say, Brother Matt, how do you get that? I'm telling you this. Sometimes God has to take away from you in order to add. We think if we just get a little bit more and add to what we have, we'll be a whole lot better in life. That's not always the case. God knows what he's doing. Sometimes he's got to take some things out of our life in order to move us up higher into a different place, into a different plane. If you really want to be used of God, sometimes there has to be an addition by subtraction. It's a principle in the Word of God. You can find it running from Genesis to Revelation, addition by subtraction. As we look at our text this morning in Proverbs 25, our text makes it very clear. In order to have pure silver that is of any value, there's got to be some things that are removed. How does this happen? How does things be removed from silver? It happens through the process of heat. Fire has to be put to the silver, and it has to be heated to a certain degree. And then whenever it's heated to a certain degree, it begins to yield the impurities in that silver. As a matter of fact, silver does not melt until it reaches 960 degrees Celsius. I'm going to tell you, that's hot, my brothers and sisters. 960 degrees Celsius. But something takes place whenever that silver begins to melt. Whenever it melts, all of the impurities, the lesser metals, the alloys, all of that junk, it comes up to the top. And then the silversmith, he does something. The same thing he does in the natural, Almighty God does to us. He takes his ladle and he skims off the top and he removes those things that are impure, those things that are not desirable. God wants to remove some things out of our life this morning. Oh, what about you, preacher? I'm telling you, the closer I get to God and the more trials brought my way, the more I see there's some things in me that's got to come out, that's got to be extracted. And when it happens, God begins to work in a deeper way in my life. The purifying process, addition by subtraction. And only then, whenever it melts and the fire's put to our life, those fiery trials which are to try us, are the impurities removed, and do they come to the top? Let me ask you this morning, do you feel the heat this morning? Are you going through something? Are you going through a trial? Are you confused? Or are you wondering why God hasn't heard your cry? You may have cried out to God on numerous occasions and you say, it just feels like the heavens are brass and God hasn't answered my cry. Let me tell you, sometimes God, He won't answer your cry right then because He's trying to put you through the furnace of afflictions, the fiery trials that Peter talks about, that is to try us. Ladies and gentlemen, we blame everything on the devil. Sometimes God's allowing you to go through it because He's trying to purify you and make you just like Himself. What is the perfect will of God for me, preacher? I can tell you, I'm constantly seeking for the will of God and the direction of God for Harvest Time Church, for my family. But I can tell you, the greatest will for you and I, every one of us, is for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. If you're seeking the will of God, I can tell you first and foremost, it is for me to decrease that Christ may increase. It is for me to become more like Jesus. That is what Paul constantly cried out. He talked about the death of his self. He said, I am crucified with Christ in Galatians 2 and 20. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What was he saying? He was saying, I'm living the life of another. I am dead to self, and Christ is living through me. That ought to be the testimony, the heart's desire of every child of God, that we allow Him to live through our lives. Do you feel the heat this morning? Are you struggling? Are you confused? Do you feel the great pressures of life? You may be going through a purging process. God may be trying to do something in you. He may be trying to purify you this morning. God may be trying to take something away so He can add to. Amen. Oh, listen, God just works that way. Both King Solomon and the prophet Isaiah make this addition by subtraction principle very clear. Here's what Isaiah says. Isaiah 1 and 25, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away thy tin. Listen, what he was saying is God's going to do something in you. He's going to pull some things out of you. And I'm going to tell you, it's not always pleasant. Oftentimes it can be very, very painful. And this is not popular preaching across the nation today. Everyone wants to hear about what God's going to do for them. Can someone drop the temp just a little bit, AC? So everybody wants to hear what God's going to do for them in the positive. I'm going to tell you, God's not always going to start off in the positive. The end result is supposed to be positive, amen? But I can tell you, sometimes it's going to be painful. He's trying to pull something out of you. And I'm going to tell you something. When God tries to take something from us, we grab a hold of it so tight, white knuckled, we don't want to let it go. You better let God do what He's trying to do in your life. If you really want God to purify you and to add and to give and give you an increase, you've got to release what He's trying to take from your life. Brother Mac, just tell me that I can get the blessing without the pain. That's not always going to happen. Sometimes it will. Sometimes you can get the blessing without a little bit of pain. Brother Matt, just tell me that I can get my increase without a decrease. I'm not going to do it this morning because you probably won't. Oh, I say it again. John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born of a woman, the Bible says. He said, I must decrease that Christ could increase. This is called heaven's mathematics. Oh, and God's going to do something in you if He can take something out of you. God often deals with us the same way any responsible parent would deal with their child. How is that? If you're a responsible parent, sometimes you pat them on the back, give them an that a boy or a good girl, oh, I'm proud of you. And other times you have to bust their hide. Right? Right? You have to be balanced. Now listen, there's got to be a balance there. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, he says, preach the word, Timothy. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's three things here. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Two of these are hard to deal with. Reproving and rebuking. There's an exhortation. The third one is a building up and encouraging. We all need encouragement, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? But I can tell you, Paul gave Timothy the pattern of preaching. He says 2/3 of your preaching, young man, ought to be reproving and rebuking. It isn't always pleasant, but I'm going to tell you, we are so bad in our flesh, we need a little correction. All of us need a little reproving and rebuking. And every once in a while, about 1/3 of the time, we need to be built up and encouraged in the things of God. Oh, come on. I'm all about encouragement. But the people in this present modern day religious society, we are addicted to encouragement. Build me up. Tell me that everything's going to be all right. Well, I can tell you, I'm not going to build you up and encourage you when you got a rattlesnake hanging around your neck. I'm not going to tell you you're all right. Listen, that's what a hireling does. That's what somebody that doesn't care about your soul does. Listen, most preachers, and not everyone, there's still some good gospel preachers out there. They'll pat you on the back and try to get you wallet with the other hand. Listen to me. You better run from that Facebook. You better, if you're in the state of West Virginia or Tennessee, find you an old-fashioned church that don't mind hurting your feelings every once in a while. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be afflicted. It was David that said in Psalms, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. I was heading in the wrong direction, but you sent pain my way. You got my attention, and now I'm going in the right direction. God is good. God is merciful. God knows what he's doing, but we better listen to him. My pastor used to say it like this. Everybody knows the story. 1997, 98, he came up to me and said, never even got on a platform. Never even sang as a little kid in the choir in a church. He came up to me, never been on the platform. He said, you're preaching Wednesday night, be ready. I almost had 2 nervous breakdowns and 3 cardiac arrests. I went up to him and I said, Brother Taylor, I'm not a preacher. And he said, don't be late, you're preaching. I called him about a day before that. I had 7 days to prepare. I'm telling you, 40 to 80 hours. I prepared, I prayed, I got ready to preach on that prodigal son. I had him in and out of the hog pen, back into his father's arms in 4.5 minutes. Oh, I had him in that altar call. Oh, but I'm going to tell you, the day before I preached, I called Brother Taylor and I said, Brother Taylor, I'm so nervous. He said, listen to me, son. You don't preach for people. You preach for God to people. Listen, whenever you and I are children of God, we don't live our life to be praised by man. We live them for the King of Glory. Sometimes you got to tell the truth when the truth hurts. Preaching and the teaching and the proclamation of the gospel, it's one of the ways God uses to remove the dross out of our lives. And listen, he can turn up the heat any way that he wants. God can turn up the heat in many different ways, and he does it through the fiery trials. He knows how to get our attention. Yes, he's trying to add by subtraction. We must not fight the process. Some of us fight it so much. Oh God, not that. Don't take this from me. Oh God, please let me have this. Lord, just one more. Just let me have this. Don't take this from me. And the Lord's trying to pull. Listen, if you had any idea how good it would be, if you would just release it, you say, well, I've worked so long to get this and that and this. If you would just give it to God, he may give you tenfold. Oh, as much as you ever dreamed before, you know, throughout the years. In this church, this is a classical Pentecostal church. We preach the truth of God's word. We believe in God's Holy Ghost moving. It's not something that they say would be something that's even relevant for today. So it's hard oftentimes throughout the years for a church like this. And you know, through the years, I've been here 21 years. you'd have somebody come in and the Lord would be trying to pull them out, and I'm grabbing a hold of them. No, no, you ain't going nowhere. Lord's trying to pull them out. Oh, I'm grabbing a hold of them. You ain't going anywhere. There is a time for that. There are people who need encouragement. There are people that just need to know you love them. Amen. There are people that are living in sin and you just need to work with them. But there's other times people don't want to change. They move against the body of Christ. It doesn't happen very often here. God's blessed us here. But I try to hold on to people. Listen, whenever God has pulled out people throughout the years, I'd break my heart. I'd cry when people would leave. But it's almost as if he removed one family, he brought two in their place. This thing's bigger than me. This is not my church. It belongs to Almighty God. I'm talking to you about addition by subtraction. God knows what he's doing. We need to let him do what he does best. And that is purify, sanctify. Even in the secular world, they've found the value of addition by subtraction. A college basketball coach may have to kick a young man off the team. Amen? He's causing problems in the locker room, and he's stirring up the other players against the coach, and or maybe the team captain is the one that's the lead man, and the other ones are calling this one guy. You remember Terrell Owens for the Dallas Cowboys? Boy, he was terrible. I'm glad that he was an awesome talent, but man, he's stirred up that locker room constantly. An employer will oftentimes get rid of an employee out of a company for the same reason. Why? Because they come into that work environment, they talk, they stir up things. Amen. Some of you have been a part of that where whenever an employee had to leave forcefully, you were sad for them, but the whole work environment changed. You've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I can tell you that they even understand that there are times that you have to take away in order to add. Something must be removed. It's unbelievable how many areas we accept this in life, but we have a hard time accepting it in our spiritual life. I want you to imagine someone 80 to 100 pounds overweight. They're having major heart health problems. They go to the doctor and they ask the doctor, "Can you give me a prescription? I am feeling tired. My blood pressure's high. I'm just having problems." And that doctor says, "No, listen. What you need to do is you need to go on a diet and exercise." And they said, No, I don't want that. I don't want a diet and exercise. I want a pill. Just give me a pill that makes me feel better." It doesn't work that way. No, you got to take away some things in order to feel better. Or can you imagine somebody coming into a doctor with a tumor? And they tell the doctor, "It's sore to the touch. I don't know what it is." They do a biopsy of this protruding thing coming out of their body. And the doctor says, "It is a malignant tumor. We must get to it immediately and extract it. We must cut it out, or you're going to die." Can you imagine that patient arguing with that doctor? "Just give me a pill. Just give me a fix. Add something to my life." That doctor looks at him and says, "Listen, sir, if I don't cut it out, you are going to die." And that patient looks at the doctor and says, "Hey, you prayed with me the other day. I thought you liked me. I thought you were my friend." Can you imagine that type of thinking? I'm going to tell you, it seems ludicrous in the natural, but people are that way in the church world all of the time. Oh, there are things that are destroying them. There are things that are pulling them down, but they don't want to let go of it. They got a million excuses why they want to hold on to it. Let me tell you, what we better do is get our eyes back on eternity. All that really matters is that I'm ready for the rapture of the church whenever he gets me out of here. I don't want to miss out on the greatest event that's been planned by Jesus Christ himself. Oh, come on. God's trying to pull some things from us to add to us. Think about it. Yes, things are killing us. As a pastor, I've had to do this a lot. Go to people and say, "Listen, this is pulling you down. This is going to harm you." And there are some people who listen. they listen and they respond immediately. Other people have said, don't tell me that. God hasn't spoke that to me. Well, listen to me. If it pulls you out of the house of God, if you have bills, if you have overextended yourself so much financially that you have to keep on working and working and working and working another job and another job. Listen, the secret, the remedy to the problem is not going and getting more hours. Now, I understand that getting a raise, a massive raise, could help you out there. I understand that. But what you need to do is you need to cut back on some things. You need to eliminate some things. There are some things that you need to change in your life. Oh, it doesn't matter if it's when it comes to your job or your time. There are things that we schedule our calendar so stacked. We don't have time for our family. We don't have time for prayer. We don't have time for anything. Listen, there's not going to be any more days in the week. What we need to do is we need to go through our calendar. We need to look at our life and we need to eliminate some things. We need to prioritize some things. Amen. We need to figure out what is the most important thing to you and I. Some of us have been overextended with our time and our money, our bills. We have become a slave to this world. No. I don't want anything to hold me down or to hold me back from doing the will of God. I want to get my eyes fixed on Calvary. I want to keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, my redemption and your redemption is drawing nigh. It's time right now to release what God's trying to take from you. What is God trying to pull out of your hands? What is it? What is He trying to pull you away from so you can be added to? What is it? What is it? Whatever it is, do not fight it. Hear me today. Whatever clutters our walk with God becomes the target of God's purging process. I'm warning you. Whatever hinders or clutters your walk with God will become the target of His purging process. He will go after it. He'll start working on it. And some of you know exactly, some of your minds are just going exactly to a certain thing, a certain place, and what God's been talking to you. And this can answer a lot of questions, a lot of problems you've been having. Some people think the more they do, and the more they acquire, the happier they will be. Wrong. If I can just get one more. If I can just change this house for another house. There's nothing wrong with upgrading and improving. Nothing wrong with having a new car. Nothing wrong with having new things and nice things. Praise the Lord. But I can tell you, it's not going to bring happiness. It's not going to bring joy. Oh, just listen, I enjoy collecting guns, but my budget doesn't allow me to collect guns whenever I want. You know, when I first got married, I'd buy me a gun. I was working at Frito-Lay, and I was here as the assistant pastor. If I wanted to buy another gun, my mentality was just ask for forgiveness from my wife instead of permission. I don't do that anymore. That was when I was younger. But I want to tell you, you know, they say, all I need is just one more gun. And some of you ladies, you just need one more pair of shoes. Oh, come on. Now I'm preaching to you. Oh, come on. I can tell you, things will not satisfy. What will satisfy is being in the perfect will of the Almighty God, doing the will of God, walking in purity, walking in separation from this world. Do you want joy back in your life? Just begin to eliminate things. Whatever God's trying to take from you, let Him have it, and then fill it with the perfect plan and the will of God. When Jesus began His public ministry, one of His first steps, according to John chapter 2, was He decluttered the temple. He saw those buying and selling and in the temple, and it was a time that it was a bad thing that was going on. Well, Jesus took a scourge of cords, went in that temple, and He cleaned house. You talking about the loving, gentle, Son of God went in there and he gave somebody an old-fashioned whooping with a scourge of cords. Brother Matt, why didn't he just get some new paint and add to the temple? Why didn't he buy some decorations? No, he didn't add to something that need to be subtracted from. Do you hear what I'm saying? There are things in our life that's become so cluttered and we've allowed everything in. We don't know whether we're coming or going. We don't know what to do because we have so many things we're trying to figure out. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to be single-minded. Single-minded. The things that are eternal are the things that will carry you through. We got to get rid of some things. What we need to do is stop and ask, what in my life needs to be extracted? Are there attitudes that grieve God? I've had attitudes that grieve God. I'm telling you, things can come out whenever the trials and the heat's put to my life. What's in there is extracted. It comes to the top. And listen, whenever it comes to the top, I need to let God do a work in my life and let Him take His ladle and remove the skim off the top. Are there habits that need to be broken in your life? Some of us, listen, it takes 21 days, they say, to form a habit. So on the reverse side, 21 days to stop a habit. Change something. Listen, you pray through over it. God can change it instantaneously. But there are times that we just got to change and break the vicious cycle of life. Are there habits that need to be broken? Let God take it. I'm preaching to you this morning on addition by subtraction. What about impure actions that need to be repented of? There are some things in our life that we got to get out. What about negative friends? Woo. Negative friends that talk. They have a victim mentality. Victim mentality people that are been done by everybody and by their parents and by life and by their job, they gather together. They're attracted to one another. I've said it before. I've heard this from people who have rehab homes, that someone who is a current drug addict, they can be in a room. There could be two drug addicts in a room. And there's something about that person's spirit. There could be two. And they can find each other within 20 minutes. Why is that? Because they have the same spirit. Listen, if you have friends that are pulling you down, get away from them. Don't allow the devil to tell you, well, you're a Christian, you can't be mean. Well, I can tell you something. It comes to between my soul and being a friend to somebody that's pulling me down. I'm going to say, listen, adios amigos. I will pray for you. I will love you. But I'm not going to hang out with you anymore. I'm not going to allow you to. Listen, God wants to pull some of my friends away from us. Brother Matt, are you serious? Listen, in 1996, when I got saved by the blood of the cross, I called my best friend that next day, or he called me rather, and he said, hey, I got something for you. You know what he had for me? Some marijuana. I'm going to just tell you what it was. He said, call us up some girls, man. I said, I can't hang out with you no more. I done burnt my little black book. He said, come on, man. What's going on? I said, no. I said, I just got saved. He said, no, please, no. I said, Wendell, I'm sorry. I cannot hang out with you anymore. He said, no. He said, how can you say you're a friend to me? I said, you can come to church with me, but I ain't going out to eat with you no more. I ain't going to hang around you anymore. Why? Because I have changed addresses. Oh, I'm no longer a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of heaven. And God had to pull. Listen, if I'd have kept on hanging out with that friend for the sake of being a friend, wouldn't be long, I'd be smoking dope again. I'd have been pulled back in that world. I had to separate myself from that individual. And some of you have people in your life that are pulling you down, that are talking in your ear. You better separate yourself. Save yourself, Paul says, from this untoward generation. You got to do whatever you can to save your family, yourself, from all the things, the negativity, all the things that are pulling you down. I'm preaching on addition by subtraction. Listen, I can help some folks with counsel. Some folks I can't. Why is that? Because some people don't want to hear. Proverbs 9 and 8 says this, rebuke not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. In the ministry, I'm very, very careful with people because you can say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. You know, God didn't call me to be a butcher. He called me to be a surgeon with the help and instruction of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And I can say one wrong thing and something that devil can work on someone's mind. Yes, sometimes it happens. Sometimes it has to happen. But there are people that will receive counsel with humility. They can be helped. They're humble people. They might hurt their feelings, but they'll listen. They'll change. But there's others, if you say one thing to them, they're going to meditate on it. They're going to get mad. And who in the world do you think you are to tell me? Listen, the Bible calls that kind of individual a scorner. He said, if you deal with them and try to help them, they're going to hate you. But if you rebuke a wise man, that wise man's going to love you. Listen to me. I want to know when I'm doing something wrong. Don't you lie to me. Don't you tell me I'm right when I'm wrong. I want the Holy Ghost to prick and to penetrate my heart. I want him to take his scalpel and to cut out anything in me that's not right. Any pride, any covetousness, any lust, any spirit that's not of God. Oh God, take it away. Let the fire come. Let the trials come. Let the heat get hot till it melts the silver and the impurities, the alloys, the lesser metals come to the top. And oh God, take your Holy Ghost ladle and skin him off the top. Oh, I want to be changed, church. I don't know about you. Do you have that desire to be seen and noticed? Oh, they didn't notice me. They never said anything about me working so hard. Listen, there's a lot of folks that hide behind, oh, don't say anything about me, preacher. But if you don't, now they don't go to this church. They go to the other churches. They get mad. Do you have a competitive spirit? Oh, Matt Gregory has a competitive spirit. I got to be real careful. Anybody that can get in the flesh playing Monopoly needs to pray through. It's bad. I'm telling you right now, I got to pray through before I ever even pick up the little thing. And oh, I'm going to tell you something, because that girl's as competitive as I am, and I'm going to beat her, and she wants to beat me. Oh, listen, there are some things that we got to get extracted out of us. We must be absolutely open and inviting God to thoroughly search us. Don't have any hidden rooms in your life. Just tell the Holy Ghost, Lord, I want you to go through this every compartment of my life, my mind. I don't want to hide anything from you. I want you to pull out of me what doesn't need to be there. Lord, if you had to subtract in order to add, do whatever you've got to do. I've had people before that I've had to call and say this. I'd be in prayer. Lord, will you work this miracle? Will you help this family? And the Holy Ghost would speak to me about somebody that I had an issue with. I didn't know that I had unforgiveness. But there was an issue that had taken place maybe years ago. And I've had to call people and say, hey, I need you to forgive me if I've wronged you. Listen, whatever it is, let go of it. Don't let your knuckles become so white because you're holding on so tight to something God's trying to pull from you. Listen to the piercing prophecy of Malachi. Malachi 3:2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord in the days of old, as in the former years. I'm going to tell you something. That's enough to make somebody shout right there. Oh, listen. He is a purifier of the sons of Levi's. And guess what? You and I, as children of God, we are kings and priests unto God. There's a constant working within us. Brother Matt, are you everything that you're called to be now? No way. Yes, I'm saved and on my way to heaven, but there's a constant working of the Holy Ghost to change and to conform me to the Spirit of Christ. And he allows the heat of the fiery trials to expose things in my life. There are things inside of me that I don't even know is there until the trials come. What happens whenever calamity strikes at COVID-19? The way you handle COVID-19 tells a lot about what's in the deep crevice of your heart. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, we need to allow God to pull everything out of us. Let Him have whatever He wants. Let me ask you today, is your faith deep enough to yield to the refiner's fire? Will we always be comfortable with the process? No way. Because it is not pleasant. But it is the Savior's method. But the good news is this. Joy and peace will always be felt immediately after He subtracts in order to add. God's doing something in this last day. He's doing something in this church body. And He wants to do something deep in you. But you've got to identify what it is that He's trying to pull out. Whatever it is, if it's something that you have in your physical possession, if it's something in your mind, if it's something you're holding on to, He wants to take away in order to add. Every parent knows what it's like for your child to eat much junk food and have to cut it off. I tell the story whenever my wife would leave, I would go in there and I'd say, okay, it's party time. The kids were little. Little Debbie snack cakes, beef jerky. We would even go, listen, I've even got pickled eggs before. And when I was in Mississippi, I got pickled pig feet. Woo! I know, I just, it's causing your mouth to water. It's lunchtime. But I'm going to tell you, you can't eat all of that junk food. A parent understands that. Why? Because if it constantly goes in, it's going to affect their health. And I'm going to tell you, it's the same way when it comes to our spiritual life. It's constantly coming into us. We got to separate ourselves from everything we're feeding on that can affect us. What about when your child is affected by a bad influence at school? Have you ever had that situation happen? A friend that's pulling your child down, you know what you're going to do? You're going to separate that child from that friend because you care. Can someone come to the piano this morning? What do? You have to pull away in order for them to grow. You know, through the years, I guess I've been, in some people's eyes, a strict dad. I love my kids. I'm very loving. I pray they have that testimony. I'm looking at the big picture. I'm looking at their life and their. I want them to get to heaven first and foremost. I want my daughters to be good wives, good mamas, know how to pray, know how to treat people. I want my son to be a good daddy, a good husband. Sometimes I have to take things away from them throughout the years in order to begin to cultivate and to help them to grow. Proverbs 3:12, the writer says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." God lovingly permits pressures and trials. He will let the bottom fall out from time to time so that our wrong reactions can come to the surface. Did you hear that? God will let the bottom fall out and see how you react so you can see what's in your heart. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. No man knows his own heart. But I can tell you this, God will reveal your heart through the fiery trials that are to try you. God intentionally places us in situations which are beyond our ability to cope. I asked you earlier in this message this morning, do you feel the heat? Well, Brother Matt, that's a little bit different. Right now, I'm just going through hell. I said, do you feel the heat? What's the devil that's attacking me? Do you feel the heat? Listen, the devil can't do anything to you unless God allows it. God's trying to do something. I had to counsel with someone yesterday that was very broken over many, many different situations that are happening in this young person's heart. And I broke down and cried because I knew what it was. I hurt for this individual. But I told this young person, I said, let me tell you what's going on. With tears flowing down my cheeks, I said, here's what's going on. God's trying to do something in you. Pain is necessary. Don't listen to Christian television that tells you anything different. Don't listen to preachers who tell you anything different. Pain's necessary. pain's necessary for you to go through things. And during a painful process, one of two things will happen. During a great heated trial, one of two things will happen. You will either turn your back on God and blame God and spiral in a deep, dark depression. Move away from God. You'll either do that, or during that time of pain and agony, you'll look to Him. You'll draw strength from Him. It's not easy to pray when you're going through trials and tribulations. When you've done all you can do to stand, sometimes you just got to stand there. You don't feel, but Brother Matt, I don't feel anything. I don't feel something all the time. I love to feel the presence and the power of God, but I don't always feel. But I know, according to the Word of God, He's there. Do you hear me? I know that He's there. I told this young person, I said, what God's doing, He's doing a deep work in your life right now. And what you ought to do is you need to look up and ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? How are you trying? What are you trying to work in me? What are you trying to extract out of me? Because God, I want to be in line with what you're doing. Can we stand? In deep, dark trials, times of great heat, I do my best to say, Lord, please let me get the message. Because if I don't get the message, I'm going to go through a trial again just like it. It may have a different face. It'll be just like it. Because God loves us so much. I say this often. He cares more about your destination in eternity than He does your life right now. And He will allow you to suffer financially, physically, emotionally. He will allow your friends to turn on you. He will allow the confusion in families and heartache and pain. He will allow it for the betterment of your future. Do you believe that? It's the Word of God. Do you know how an ancient refiner knew he was finished with purifying silver? And whenever he could turn down the heat, here's how he did. He could see his reflection in the silver. Isn't that awesome? How does God know when He can turn down the heat in that area of your life? Something in you has been conformed. Something in you has changed. Listen to me. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept Thy word. Before I went through rejection, I did not really have a sensitivity to people who were rejected. But whenever I'm rejected, I recognize people who are being rejected, and I can go to them and I can love them and help them. And it's that way in every area of your life, because everything we go through is not just for you. It's for somebody else. God wants to use us in this last hour to help, to restore, to bring life to hurting people. Listen, your life is not about you. I close with this. Your life is not about you. My life is not about me. Everything I go through is for somebody else. Everything you're going through, everything you've been through in this kingdom and got victory over, we're changed in. It was for somebody else, not just you, but for someone else. So please, this morning, don't fight the process. God will never let you remain the way you are today. He's not going to let you remain this way. I don't ever want to hear this out of anybody. I've heard this before with husbands and wives arguing. I've counseled a lot of people, and I've heard this, and I stop them. Here's what they say. Why are you trying to change me? This is the way I was when you married and you knew that. I'm like, oh, stop that. Christianity is all about change. Boy, my wife's had to work a number over on me. You won't believe how good God has used her to change me. Says, Tina knows. She's smiling. She knows. Christianity is all about change. You need to change. I need to change. Every single day, you need to change. You need to change. If you're 55 years old, you need to change. But Brother Matt, I've been serving God since I was 15 years old. You need to change. Brother Matt, I'm 72 years old and I have served God all my life. You need to change. Brother Matt, you're the pastor of Harvest Time Church. I need to change. Addition by subtraction. Do you want a miracle in your life? Do you want God to hear your cry? Stop holding on to what He is trying to take from you. Father, I preached what You put in my spirit today to preach. Oh God, I know You by Your Spirit are talking to this congregation. Lord, You love them more than anyone has ever loved them. You have a plan that's bigger than what we are. Help us today to see, to hear with spiritual ears that can change. Lord, we know that we're under the mighty constructive hand of God. Lord, take away what You need to take away to preserve us in eternity. Lord, take away what You need to take away to add to us, to make us more like You, to purify us. Do Your work in these altars today in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you, if there's anyone in this house, I usually ask you to bow your head, close your eye. No one look around. I want to say this to you. Jesus said, if you confess Me before men, I'll confess you before My Father which is in heaven. If you deny Me, I'll deny you. Is there a backslider in this house that once served God, but you're a backslider today and you want to come back to God today? If that's you this morning, let me tell you what will happen. I'm going to give you a chance to raise your hand just 1 minute. If there's one backslider in this house, here's what you're going to find at this altar. You're going to not feel a God that will reject you. You will feel a God with open arms that will embrace you and love you. Is that you, backslider? Brother Matt, I'm a backslider. I'm not proud of it, but I'm going to profess it. And I'm going to come down to this altar. I want you to raise your hand real high. Come down here very quickly. These young men, come down here. Anyone else in this house? God's going to do a work. Come down here, young lady. I want you to come down here. God's going to save you. God's going to do a work in your life. Anyone else? Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. God's doing a work. Come quickly. Oh, let me tell you, because of this, there's a work that's fixing to be done in this house. Is there another backslider in the house? Another backslider in this house? I'm away from God, and I know I'm away from God, and I want to be saved this morning by the blood of the cross. If that's you, come quickly. Anyone else before we come and pray at these altars? Now, I'm going to ask some ladies to come and pray with this sweet young lady and some men to come pray with these men. We're going to get it right with God. But I want the others to come find a place to pray around these altars. At the chair, up against the wall, you can stand, you can kneel. But here's what we need to ask the Lord. Give me the grace to release what You're trying to take from me so You can do a deeper work in my life. Every one of us have things in our life God wants to take from us to give us increase. Can we come and find a place to pray around these altars? Please come. Lord, seek the Lord. You can stand against the walls. Pray in these front pews. Come and pray.